Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hey parents, Tim Wright here, along with Dr. Michael Gurian. Part two of our two-parter on puberty. Last week we looked at girls and puberty. Today we turn to boys and puberty. And we're brought to you by Man Cave. Men all need to be caring, actively engaged, vested, and encouraged. Dr. Marion Hill here in the Phoenix area is doing some great work. Their mission is to improve the well-being of children by increasing the number of children growing up with engaged, committed, responsible fathers or male role models. If you are looking for some great stuff on that topic, go to wonderparenting.com, wonderparenting.com, and you'll find a link to that. Last week, we started a two-part series on puberty. We looked at girls in puberty. And today, Michael actually has his own piece of Gurian gold for us. So I'm really looking forward to Michael apparently tooting his own horn with his own Gurian gold. Yes.
Yes, I was thinking, I'm quoting myself, of course. Yeah. Which is just quoting the science. So here's going to be my gold. This was in The Wonder of Boys, and I've talked about it ever since. Boys, and they hit puberty, boys are getting up to 7 spikes of testosterone per day. 7 spikes of testosterone per day. So what that is, there, if parents have noticed that, you know, there's sort of an up and down, or they suddenly have a lot of energy, or they get really mad suddenly, or whatever. It could be that it's one of the spikes of that testosterone. And because the guiding chemical, and I'll get right into it, the guiding chemical of male puberty, and of male life is testosterone.
Right.
And testosterone is an aggression chemical, an action chemical, And now, as the child is hitting puberty, it becomes also a sex chemical, right?
Right.
It's part of what's going to give some sex drive. So that testosterone floods the male system. It starts flooding the male system in utero before the child is born, and floods the male system through life. But then in puberty and then adolescence and moving into adulthood, it's flooding, of course, even more. And it's only when we guys start hitting middle age and we're moving, you know, more toward elder years that our testosterone, right, it's going to start going down. But in adolescence, it's that testosterone spiking that's stimulating the rest of our system. So it's stimulating, along with growth hormones, it's stimulating our body to grow, right? And it's going to stimulate the secondary sex characteristics. It's going to stimulate our hormonology, and it's going to also stimulate the brain to grow. So we'll talk about all of those today.
Yeah. So as a parent, imagine a volcano erupting in your boy 7 times a day, filled with the lava of aggression, sex hormones, all that stuff. And then telling them to sit quietly in school all day long on top of that, which we talked about a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. It's a recipe for an emotional meltdown for a lot of boys. And we oftentimes think, as we talked last week, we talk about the emotional life of a girl going through puberty and sort of the ups and downs and the moodiness. But boys go through that as well. Let's start there. What do boys go through in puberty in terms of their emotional life?
Yeah, we talked last week about the intimacy imperative with girls, and I mentioned the performance imperative with boys, because testosterone is kind of action, and we want to perform and posture and show off, because that's sort of evolutionary for us. That's how we get a mate. We gotta prove ourselves, and all of that is really, really true. And along with that comes the emotional structure, and so we are going, as the testosterone is flooding and the brain is trying to grow, our amygdala is getting bigger. And males actually throughout life have a larger amygdala than females, just in terms of its size and volume. And that's that emotion aggression center of the brain. And the left side of our amygdala gets more hormone flow, gets more blood flow. We talked about the girls more on the worry side. For boys, it's more on the anger side, what we call for short, the anger side. Sure. So that just getting like, you know, suddenly getting angry and raising the voice or just stomping off, you know, being angry. So you're getting that. And because males don't have as much access neurologically, we don't have as much access to our feelings as females. And one of the reasons we don't have as much access is we don't have as many brain centers for words. So we don't have the connectivity that girls tend to have. Right. Girls are doing words on both sides of the brain, and they're connecting the word centers to the memory centers, the emotion centers, feeling centers, et cetera, sensorial centers. They've got the connectivity on both sides, but males have it mainly or only on the left. So we just don't have as much access to what we're feeling, and we're not verbalizing as much with as much variety what we're feeling. And some boys, of course, talk a mile a minute about what they're feeling. So there's always going to be exceptions. But on average, this is the situation. So males do tend to be more physical in the way they're displaying their feelings. And this is also true in early puberty up through mid puberty. Kind of by late puberty, boys have started to learn their strategies. So they're now punching a punching bag, or they're taking a run, you know, they're going on a run, or they're channeling their emotions into their soccer game, right? But in early puberty, which is sort of 8, 9, 10, you know, moving into or pre-puberty, then we're going into 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. In that time, there's a lot of where the guy has some feelings in there, but can't figure out how to express those feelings and may just get angry to express the feelings because that's easier for his brain. Or he may just suppress them because, you know, he doesn't have the words for them, but he might bring them out by drawing something, you know. And it's one of the things when we do adolescent psychology, you know, we're doing sand trays, we're doing art therapy, we're doing celluloid therapy, you know, to try to find these other ways to help guys get at what they are feeling, because they don't have the kind of connectivity that we think, you know, that they will have by 18 or 20 or 22 or 25. They're going to get more, but at 13 or 14, they just may not have it to be able to speak it. So all they do is they expel it, right? Because feelings have to be experienced, expressed, and expelled. That's what we're trying to do with them. Experience them, express them, and expel them. And we'll store up the ones we need for something else, but we're generally experiencing, expressing, and expelling. So they may go right to expelling it through an anger episode or going out for a run or punching a punching bag. And that may be expression and expelling. And we may never really know what the feeling was.
Right.
And I always say to parents, you know, okay, you know, that may well be okay. You don't necessarily have to know every step of the way what your son is feeling. He's not going to want to tell you anyway, because he wants his independence. And he doesn't want to be probed, but also you may not have to worry about it. He doesn't have as many emotions going on. He's not going to maybe express them as much. When we as parents ought to worry about it is when the kid is isolating, you know, like he's not able to express any feelings to us, and he's hiding in his room and he's only playing video games. Right. So now we're into isolation. He's probably depressed. But I tell parents, you don't have to worry about it. If it's like, oh, I asked him what he felt today and he didn't tell me.
Right.
You know, that's probably okay, unless he's in some acute danger.
So we're going to come back. I've got some more questions for Michael. One of them is, does puberty catch us and boys by surprise? And I'll explain what I mean by that in a moment. You're listening to the Wonder Parenting Podcast, a brain science approach to parenting.
Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hannah baby. Introducing a new collection, Hannah Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hannah quality for your most precious gift. Hannah Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannahanderson.com.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
So, Michael, when I asked the question, does puberty catch us and our boys by surprise, we kind of know there's a physical thing that happens, menstruation for girls, that says, ding, 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 they're going now through puberty. Do we get a little caught by surprise? Do our boys get caught by surprise, for example? Because we don't really have anything physical that tells us so much that I'm going through puberty. So do we sort of stumble our way through it sometimes because we kind of know what to expect from girls, but we're not quite as up to speed with what should be happening for boys?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a really interesting point you're making. I mean, you're absolutely right that girls can't avoid it.
You're right.
When it happens, boy, they know, you know, and of course they're in pre-puberty before they menstruate, but yeah, when it happens, they're in it. For boys, not only might they be surprised, but we parents may be surprised that it's happening, or we won't see it happening because we're not in their private life. So right. For instance, when a boy, by the time a boy starts to masturbate, he's probably in puberty, right? Okay. Because these urges are happening. The testosterone is flowing so much and he's got, you know, so that might be when he starts to know it. And we could start saying, probably it would be a man who says it to him. Okay, well, you're in puberty now. And of course, you know, if he's growing, when he starts to shoot up, right? He shoots up right. And becomes a beanpole or something like that. Okay. Well, definitely in puberty, right? His body's growing. His muscle mass could be growing. He's getting taller. Certainly once he starts getting hair, then absolutely we know he's in it, even though he entered it probably before he started getting secondary sex characteristics. So yes, it is not as obvious. And hence sometimes we parents are caught by surprise in terms of the neurological effects we talked about, the emotion effects, and the risks that the guy might start taking now that he wasn't taking at 9 or 10, because the testosterone is just flooding him, you know, so it's a risk chemical. So he's taking all sorts of risks. He's doing his skateboard off of the roof, you know, into the pool and missing the pool. And, you know, and a lot of this is just, wow, this is just, he's getting hit with this hormone that's constantly pushing him to take risks. And so, okay, he's in it now, but where did that come from? Right. That may have come out of the blue, perhaps. So yeah, I think you're right that there is a difference. And so sometimes it's harder then for us to help guys with puberty. Sometimes, I mean, it's hard to help girls sometimes through it, but sometimes it can be hard to help guys because especially if they only have contact like with mom and they don't have guys around them, you know, and mature guys around them, you know, to say, okay, so you're going through puberty. So here's what's happening. So talk to me about what's happening. Let me help guide you because you're going to kind of want to do this, but we got to watch out for that. And you have to have safe sex and, you know, all of these things. It can really help to have a dad or some father figures or even a mature older brother to help. Because the boy himself, you know, you and I were boys who went through puberty. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's some shocks for us.
Yes.
And we sure could use some help, but it's very embarrassing. And every boy going through puberty is going to see something about himself that he thinks is wrong or strange or bad or inadequate. And the key thing is inadequate. Oh, my penis isn't big enough. Oh, my, you know, I'm not tall enough. I don't have enough hair. I have too much hair, you know. And so we got to help him process that because that sense of inadequacy is part of what his brain is going to be fighting and trying to help him to take the risks and do the things that will make him feel adequate, you know. And some of the unhealthy stuff he does, driven by neurochemistry, yes, but also choices he's making, some of that is him trying to prove his adequacy, trying to prove his power, trying to prove himself. Mm-hmm. And some of that's driven by these pubertal urges.
We didn't talk a lot about this last week. The sort of the social nature of puberty for girls when they're going through it with their other friends, breast size, have you had your period yet, so on and so forth. But guys go through that, especially when it comes to if they're in a school where they do sports and they have to take a shower afterwards, right? And suddenly, you know, there you are, and maybe your friends have pubic hair and you don't, or whatever it might be. It becomes a real social embarrassment for boys. And of course, that awkwardness that comes with girls and being man enough, not in the toxic sense of the word, but just feeling like I'm growing up, that, and boys tend to internalize that more. Is that fair? They tend to internalize that more than maybe a girl might.
The
sense of
inadequacy.
Right. You know, being in the shower or whatever it might be.
Yeah, I know. I'm not sure I would say more, but they have their own, like, girls can feel so inadequate that their breasts aren't big enough, that they're too fat. I mean, like, I don't think more. I think, you know, I would go equal on that. But differently, first of all, girls have, you know, they don't stand at urinals, right? They have stalls. Right. I mean, female privacy is much more valued. And insisted upon. So girls just don't have as much access to seeing each other like naked, you know, and they kind of are doing the measuring of stuff on social media by looking at pictures and so on.
Got it.
Or
Got
with
it.
Their friend, or if they have really close friends, then they, you know, might, et cetera. Whereas you're right. Okay. So in a lot of situations, boys, like schools, a lot of schools have cut out the showering after gym for this specific reason. They just don't want the guys to have to go through stuff with each other, and they don't want any potential issues. So they've cut it out. And you're in my generation. Yeah, it was all the time. So someone like me, and so you had to have gym and you had to shower after gym.
Right. We actually had to go swimming naked in the pool with the other guys.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Horrific. It's horrifying.
Oh, that is horrifying. Wow. Yeah. I have to think about why they did that. Okay. So, so that's doubled down on what I'm about to say. Like I didn't get pubic hair till I was 16. So I was what they called a late bloomer. And in fact, my parents had just taken me to the doctor because, you know, if you hit 16 without pubic hair, then they start stimulating. And just 2 or 3 weeks before I turned 16, I think I started getting pubic hair. So they didn't give me those drugs, but they were going to. So for me, of course, there's me and one other guy at 15. We had no pubic hair. That was like, I cannot tell you how inadequate I felt.
Yeah.
And this poor other guy too. So some of that's been cut out now of schools. They're not doing that. So the guys don't have to face it. But then, you know, if they do sports, they're in a locker room. Sure, for that. And then they go to the gym with dad or whatever, and they're in a locker room and they're seeing and they're comparing. And it's so biological. I mean, so much of this stuff is biological. And that's part of what we just have to talk to kids about. Mm-hmm. We have to say, you know what? It is really biological for you to compare yourself with others because you're always in competition, because you always have to perform. And guess what? You don't have to perform, you know, you're biologically wired to do it. And because you're going to try to mate. And so you're going to try to be the best, and you're going to perform, and you're going to, you know, posture and do all these things. Well, here's why that's going on in you, son. And, you know, let's applaud it, because you're going to become a success. But at the same time, guess what? It doesn't matter. You know, when you get hair, guess what? No, you know, it shouldn't matter to anybody. And no, your penis is not any larger or smaller than, you know, we got to have those conversations with guys, because we guys can feel very inadequate.
So we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back. And I've got two big questions for Michael. One is, does the loss of hair for me mean that I've lost my puberty? I've gone backwards. And the bigger question is the meaning of puberty for a boy. So we'll be back with you. You're listening to the Wonder of Parenting podcast, a brain science approach to parenting. All right. I don't want to know the answer to that first question, Michael. We'll just live with it.
Just genetics, and you know that. Genetics,
yes. Let's talk a little bit about the meaning, and this comes to sort of rites of passage and so on.
Right.
When a girl goes through puberty, she has that monthly reminder that she's become a woman. We don't have that for boys, and that's why throughout history, rites of passage have been mainly focused on boys, because you can still go through puberty and come out the other side and be a boy in a man's body.
Right.
Very difficult to be, to go through puberty for a girl and be a girl in a woman's body. It's possible, but not like for a boy. So let's talk a bit about, as we wrap up, just how important it is to teach character during the years of puberty for boys, which is true for girls, but we're focused on boys today.
Yeah, absolutely. Good for all kids. And you're talking about a baseline difference between male and female development, which is what all our past cultures knew, and they knew what you're saying. And so they said, we are going to create sometimes years long rites of passage for our boys, so that they can go from boy to man. And we are going to have men around them a lot when they hit puberty, guiding them on how to become men. And as you said, men of character, men of honor, and just overall a man, because, you know, my definition of a man is a loving, wise, and successful male adult, because all our previous civilizations, no matter what color your skin is, what race you come from, what continent you come from, your previous civilization knew the same thing that every other civilization knew, which is that, yes, you can have boys who become adult males, but are not necessarily loving, wise, and successful.
Right.
Right. So they're adult males, but they're not men. And we want the boys to become men, loving, wise, and successful male adults. So rites of passage and the constant three-family system with all these males, and not that moms and women are out of it. They're not. They're very, very important. But we made sure, all of our ancestors made sure to have guys who were mentoring over a period of years these boys, and specifically putting them through rites of passage, like the ones, you know, that you talked about, that you and I wrote, that are on wonderofparenting.com, giving them these rites of passage and teaching them character, honor, empathy, all these things. Because the hormonology, part of what's going on is that the hormones are propelling the boys, obviously, to grow up, in the sense that their bodies change and they get bigger and they can, you know, be warriors now and they can be kings now and lovers now and all those things. Archetypally, the hormones and the body are moving in that direction. But what the mentoring does is make sure the brain goes in that direction and goes in the direction of manhood and goes in the direction of character. And so when we look at boys now, and it's what I know worries you and me both about when people say, well, we shouldn't even use the word man anymore, or right. We shouldn't say that boys should become men, and all of that stuff. When I hear that, and I know both you and I really worry about that, because mm-hmm. what we will end up with is more and more immature males. They'll be adult males, but they'll be immature. And we need them to be mature. And since they're male, we need them to be mature men, because that is what they are.
Right. So puberty is a great time, and we've talked about this in the past, and you're hinting at it, to instill a vision in our boys mm-hmm. for the kind of men that they're going to be and that we want them to be, we need them to be, for our societies, for our families to be strong. And that's one of the roles that puberty can play for our boys and, of course, for our girls, as we talked about last week.
Yeah. Well, boys are crying out for it. I would say boys are every day looking at us,
right,
and unconsciously asking us, can you please teach me how to be a man?
Yeah.
Even if they'll never admit it.
Right. And we see that, of course, in these rites of passage that boys create for themselves, whether it's the hazing in college, or whatever it might be, violence in a gang. Boys need a rite of passage to prove their manhood. And we want to give them a rite of passage where we don't just prove manhood, but we develop really good, healthy. And that's what the world wants, right? That's they may say we don't want them to be men, but what they're saying is we don't want them to be bad men. we need them to be good men. And that's what the Wonder Parenting is all about, helping our daughters and our sons grow to be good, wise, loving, and compassionate. So, Michael, thank you so much. It's really good stuff as always. And folks, we'll be back with you again for another episode of the Wonder Parenting Podcast, A Brain Science Approach to Parenting. You can find us on Facebook and wonderparenting.com. Have a great week.